All right, all right, all right. Settle down, settle down. Welcome into another episode of Ball Boy Talk, the Unhinged Sports Podcast. I'm your host, Jay. I am feeling a bit under the weather, but alas, we push on, we truck on. I'm going to try to get through this episode as best I can without coughing way too much and without trying to sound like I'm dying. So, welcome in. We're going to talk a little bit today about baseball solstice, some NFL news, and then just really look at the playoff picture shaping up in the NFL right now going into week 17. And then we'll talk a little bit about my fantasy leagues too. And that's pretty much it. Nothing crazy. I can't say I'm going to get super unhinged, mostly because I'm not sure if I have all the energy to do so. But we are going to try. We are going to try and try again. So we're officially a few days past the baseball solstice. If you don't know what a baseball solstice is, then you're probably not a real baseball fan. That's all I'm saying. It's that time of year when we're now halfway between the last out of the World Series and the first pitch of spring training. So with that being said, we're about 3 days past that. So we're 3 days closer to next season than we are last season at this point. So love it. Really love it. It's been a pretty slow free agent market for the most part. Not really too many big name deals. A lot of big name free agents are still out there. We did see Shohei Ohtani take 10 years, $700 million from the Dodgers, with $680 of that money deferred so that the team could go and add like a Tyler Glasnow, and they added Yoshinobu Yamamoto. So they're just adding all the pieces they could want and do want to this team because they have the payroll flexibility to do it. It's going to be a crazy Dodgers team, and they're going to be expected to win multiple World Series over the next 10 years. So they have enough money to put in the escrow account for Ohtani. So they're not fitting the bill. They also have pretty heavy deferrals for Ohtani, Freeman, and Betts as part of their deals as well. There was a Fox article or a Fax article, something about Frank Thomas. He then posted on Twitter, or X, the artist formerly known as Twitter. He's fine. Nothing's really going on there. But yeah, it's been a really slow free agent market across the MLB. Largely in due part to the Bally Sports bankruptcy, teams having to take on their own broadcast duties. And we should see an uptick after the new year once teams get it all figured out and whatnot. And then as a Mariners fan, if you can't tell, there's some Seattle Mariners hats back there. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of them up on the wall. It sucks. Being a Mariners fan sucks. This offseason, we didn't extend a qualifying offer to Oscar Hernandez. We've traded Jared Kelenic, Eugenio Suarez, and Marco Gonzalez, Evan White. We've added Luis Urias, Mitch Garver. And just for perspective on why this sucks so much, is that only 3 years ago, we had one of the most promising and brightest outfield potentials in baseball with Julio, Jared Kelenic, and Kyle Lewis. Kyle Lewis, of course, got hurt again. Can't stay healthy to save his life. Jared Kelenic's now been traded after a very streaky career in Seattle and kind of getting, I don't know, I want to see blackballed by the team because they did him dirty for so long and it wasn't fair to him. And now you have Julio Rodriguez, who is now a 2-time Silver Slugger Rookie of the Year, and he is the absolute cornerstone of their franchise with that 14-year mega deal. And then we're seeing more and more Hall of Fame ballots come out. The Hall of Fame ballots include top names like Adrian Beltre, Joe Mauer, Gary Sheffield, and Billy Wagner among them. Most of these guys that I would have on my ballot are right there. So far from what I've seen of the released ballots and ones that have been counted, you have Adrian Beltre, Joe Mauer, Gary Sheffield, and Billy Wagner all going into the Hall of Fame. My ballot will look a little bit like Beltre, Andrew Jones, Joe Mauer, A-Rod, Chase Utley, Jimmy Rollins, Gary Sheffield, Billy Wagner, Manny Ramirez, and Bartolo Colon, because why not? It's really disappointing to see these voters not maximizing the full potential of their ballots when they're sending in three names on a ballot. That just hurts the guys that are a bit lower, that are just trying to stay on the ballot, that did have great careers, respectfully. Maybe not Adrian Beltre level career or Joe Mauer career, but you gotta use at least, there should be a requirement that they don't have to use all 10, they have to use at least, I don't know, 6 of them or something. For good faith purposes. So that's my thoughts on the Hall of Fame ballot process. I think it's a laughable process. You need 5% to stay on. Right now, 5%. I want to say I reposted it on X not too long ago. I was scrolling before I hopped on and started recording. Beltre, Mauer, Todd Helton, I'm sorry, not Sheffield. Todd Helton and Billy Wagner are all right there. Sheffield's right there at 72.8. Beltran 66.7, good jump for him. Andrew Jones 64.2. I don't know why he isn't in yet. It's very disappointing. A-Rod 45, Utley 45, Ramirez 42, Bobby Abreu 23.5, Petit 13.6, Rollins 13.6, Skell 13.6. Skell needs to be booted off the ballot. K-Rod 9.9, Burley 7.4, David Wright 6.2. And right under that Mendoza line of 5% is Torrey Hunter and Bartolo Colon. Looking right now with the released and counted ballots that they're going to be off the ballot. So you have to get at least 5% of the vote to stay on the ballot. So we'll see how it all shapes up. Should be a wild and interesting ride. But I wanted to get to some NFL news on this episode today. Since that's pretty much all the baseball news you could really get to. So it's playoff season. But not for the Broncos. Even though they could have made the playoffs. Some hardcore organizational tanking is happening. So if you haven't seen it by now, if you're a Seahawks fan, you've seen it. But back in October, the Broncos approached Russell Wilson saying he needed to change his injury guarantee or they were going to cut him at the end of the season and move on. Well, we saw this last week that they're going to be starting Jared Stidham over Russell Wilson to prevent him from getting hurt the last 2 weeks of the season. However, if Stidham comes in and then Russell gets hurt, or Stidham comes in and gets hurt, Russell goes in and gets hurt, then they're going to own the same amount of money. But yeah, they've still been letting Russ out there to play, trying to tell him to win. He never said a word about it to the public. Now he's getting absolutely kind of a two-way narrative here. Some people are just backlashing him, saying, oh, Russell Wilson, of course. But I don't see it as that. I see it as a guy who was like, no, I'm not doing it. The NFLPA stepped in. NFL stepped in to try to help the situation. Broncos didn't try helping the situation. He's been disrespected by his coach, by Sean Payton. He's been treated pretty poorly there in Denver. I get it. It's very common for teams to restructure their star players' contracts, spread the money out a little bit, defer some of it, make it a little bit easier that way. But I don't know here. The NFL needs to step in and find them for organizational tanking and really take a deep dive into this and what's going on there in Denver. Because it's not pretty. You know, Russ went there for a reason. He wanted to win. He wanted to play. He hasn't been able to. He hasn't been allowed. He's had some crappy coaching. He's had coaches who didn't get his back and support him. Pretty sad to see. You know.
Hi, little one.
Okay, well, the daughter just came in. So let's get into my fantasy teams. I played some downfall this year in fantasy. It wasn't my best year. In my main Dynasty team league, I finished second to last. It was our first year there, so plenty of room to build. I had some high draft picks. So it was my youngest waking up, coming in here while I'm trying to record. So like I was saying, in my 10-team Dynasty league, I finished second to last. Barely avoided last place, so that was nice. Luckily, we don't have punishment this year, but a lot of things are going to be changing over in that league next year. We are going to be looking for a new owner for one team. So yeah, that's kind of where my Dynasty League stands. In a 20-team dad league, fighting for third place. Very weird format, very thrown together for that league. I'm not running it, so I don't have nothing to do with it. in my work league, 10-team redraft. I'm currently playing for the championship, so that's kind of where we're at. In my league with my college buddies, it's an 8-team redraft. I'm currently fighting to not do a one-chip challenge or eat 5 spicy wings as punishment for last place. So it should be a really fun week, couple weeks. We have a 2-week playoff in that one, which I hate. I'm not a big fan of that, but it is what it is. I think 1-week playoffs are the way to go. But I'm not a fantasy football analyst or anything, so it is what it is there. But what I did want to jump into a little bit more here, is just playoff predictions. If it ended this week in week 17, you currently have Baltimore, Miami, Kansas City, Jacksonville, Cleveland, Buffalo, and Indy. Cleveland's locked in as a wild card already. Buffalo and Indy are fighting for the other two. Kansas City and Jacksonville are also fighting for their divisions. Baltimore, Miami have clinched. In the NFC, you have San Francisco, Philly, Detroit, who have all clinched. Tampa Bay is fighting for the NFC South. Dallas is clinched, and then you have the Rams and Seattle fighting for 6 and 7. So really, really interesting here. Jumping over to the AFC first, Case, Cleveland's in already. They're a wild card since Baltimore has that division. Kansas City's actually being threatened by the Raiders for the division. Kansas City plays the Bengals and the Chargers the next 2 weeks. So we'll see how that shapes out. Jacksonville's being threatened by Indianapolis and Houston. They have Carolina and Tennessee the next 2 weeks. So I think KC can definitely go out there and go 2-0. I think Jacksonville can go out there and go 2-0. Buffalo, they head to New England and Miami to end the season. I would assume that Miami rests their starters week 18, depending on if Baltimore clinches or not the top seed in the East and the AFC. So we'll see there. But I think Buffalo's kind of the only fringe team I see here, barely holding on to that playoff spot. New England, Miami are tough matchups. Houston could jump up into the division over Jacksonville. CJ Stroud is back. He's been playing at such a high level. They have Tennessee and Indianapolis. So it could come down to week 18 games for Jackson, Indy, and Houston as they're all just fighting. Indianapolis is the 7th seed in the AFC. They have the Raiders, who are 5-3 since Antonio Pierce took over. He's definitely going to be the head coach next year of the Raiders. And that's all I'm saying there. But they're definitely playing for the AFC West this week. Against Indy, and Indy's playing to stay in the hunt as well. So it's definitely interesting. So I'd definitely be watching out for the Raiders and for Houston to come and steal those playoff spots. And then over in the NFC, like I was just saying, you have San Francisco, Philadelphia, Detroit, Tampa Bay, Dallas, the Rams, and Seattle. I don't see too much changing overall in this playoff picture. Maybe Seattle and LA flipping positions, but doesn't mean some crazy things can't happen. Tampa Bay isn't locked in yet, as the Falcons could push for the NFC South. Tampa Bay has New Orleans and Carolina. Atlanta has Chicago and New Orleans. I do think Tampa Bay can win out, and Atlanta can miss the wild card here. But New Orleans is right there. They're tied record-wise with Minneapolis, Atlanta, Green Bay. And they definitely could play spoiler here over the next 2 weeks. If they can beat Tampa Bay and Atlanta, I'm pretty sure they jump and get the division, which would be absolutely crazy. Sorry, my dogs are being so loud. So, like I said, Dallas is in. The Rams play. Hold on a second. Had to grab my spray bottle to keep the dogs quiet. So, like I was saying, LA plays the Giants in San Francisco. I would assume San Francisco would rest their starters in week 18, making this a pretty clear path for the Rams to get in. They've had a great second half of the season. Seattle plays Pittsburgh in Arizona. I don't really see either of these teams trying to make it into the playoffs. So I don't really see it. So I see Seattle also. Their path is pretty clear. If they win this week, they have like an 89% chance to make it in. However, the Vikings are sitting right there at 8. I worry here that the Vikings, they have a lot to play for. They play the Packers and Detroit. The Packers are also fighting this fight as well. So it's not a clean race for these wild cards. So it's definitely one of the better seasons we've seen for football coming down the stretch in recent years. So I'm very excited for that. But the Vikings play the Packers in Detroit. I would assume that Detroit rests their starters in week 18, depending on how games shake out this week for that number one seed and that bye, which is so crucial going into it. But knowing Dan Campbell and his tendencies in his team, he probably would want them to keep playing and he wouldn't care too much. So it's kind of where we're at there. That's all I have for this week for Ball Boy Talk. Like I said, it was going to be short. It's going to be pretty straightforward. I don't got a lot of voice. Join me over on Dynasty Down Under. Also hosted here on the Ball Boy Talk platform. As I will jump into everything NBA, all its implications for fantasy basketball and everything over there. I just wanted to hit some baseball and some NFL stuff just because I wanted to. So I need a little change of pace here. But yeah, also check out if you're a dad, if you know a dad, love a dad, or a dad, whatever it is, uncle, whatever, taking care of kids. Make sure you join me on my other podcast, my main podcast, my big podcast, Young Dad Podcast. Season 5 comes out on the 1st of the year. Very excited. Make sure you like, follow, and subscribe over to both the channels, Ball Boy Talk and Young Dad Podcast over on YouTube. You can find both shows on Instagram as well. You can find this podcast and Dynasty Down Under everywhere you get your podcast, but also on Instagram at Ball Boy Blog. You can also find Young Dad Podcast simply by searching Young Dad Podcast over on Instagram as well, and you'll find it. Outside of that, I think that's everything I have. So I hope you all have a wonderful day. Have a safe and happy New Year's. One love, many blessings to everyone.